Good evening, church. It's good to be together. And I just want to express my gratitude, a huge privilege to be preaching this evening at Warren's commissioning service. Warren, it's been great watching the progress in your life over the years. Absolutely delighted that the time has come now that you're ready to go. And we just thank the Lord of the harvest, for doing this. It's His work. And so we rejoice together. As I thought and prayed about this message, it was a bit of a struggle, I confess. I really like preaching a series and just carrying on with the next section. But I settled for something which I believe will be hugely important for you, Warren, in your life as a worker, a servant of the gospel. But for every one of us, as we journey, as it were, into life, maybe we won't jet into life. We won't jet to our assignment, but we'll get up tomorrow morning and we'll be at our assignment for the Lord. And so we're all servants of His. We're all workers. And so we're going to look at some timeless biblical counsel for every single one of us this evening. And if you would please turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're actually going to backtrack from verse 8 and read from verse 5 as well. First part of that chapter was actually some instruction to elders. And then it goes down to us young guys like Charles and myself as well. Likewise, this is verse 5 of chapter 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Be sober-minded and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. By Silvanus, the faithful brother as I regarded him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends her greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Our Father, we pray that this portion of your holy word so marvelously come to us through your Spirit and through those who translated it into English. Lord, we pray that you would speak again to your people tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just two comments on this passage, general comments before we dig into it. And the one is, we're going to be referring as we go through to the really intensely personal nature of these words written by Peter. And over again, I hope as we go through it, you'll see some of the markers relating to his own life and his own experience as he passes on this counsel to the people of God. The second thing is, please note how central the Lord is. In fact, I consider verse 10 really as the centerpiece of this piece here that we're going to look at here. And those words, God Himself. God Himself is what I'd like us to really focus on this evening. And for each of us, unless we find that center of God Himself and our relationship with Him and His empowering and His enabling and His forgiving in our work and service for God, we're going to miss everything. And thank you, Yanni, for that quote of Matthew chapter 28 and ending there with that great promise, lo, I'm with you always. Surely that's the center of missions. Surely that's in a way the way to finish our month of messages as a prelude to our missions conference. Christ himself, God himself, God himself through his spirit, through Jesus Christ, through his word, but God central to all of this. And so please, as we do go through, take note of those two things. He being the central figure. But, of course, there are other players in the equation, and there always will be. Other influences that you experience. And try and remain true to the text here, I've found three influences, Warren, which I believe you will encounter on the way as you go into this new venture. And indeed, each one of us will encounter on our pilgrimage and our desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Three influences that you will encounter. So, Cody, you can have that first heading there, please. Three influences that you will encounter. And the first one, you can press the button again, lass. The first one is you yourself. You're going to have to learn to contend with yourself. Have you met yourself? That's a question to all of us. Do you know and understand yourself? Do you understand your weaknesses? Do you understand your strengths and your gifts? Because as we go into Christian service, as we venture out into witness, we need to contend with the influence of ourselves. It's a hugely subtle influence. Because we very easily can sweep things under the carpet and pretend that they are not there. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, we do get to grips with ourselves, who we are, and what we are able to do in the power of the Lord. Of course, people who don't come to grips with themselves never grow up. And it's one of the sure signs of maturity is somebody who recognizes the weaknesses in their own lives, their propensities, their thises and their thats, and indeed their abilities in Christ. But to come to terms with ourselves. And did you notice in the text it actually tells us why? Because an overinflated thoughts about ourselves lead to pride, which is mentioned there in verse 5 and in verse 6, encouraging us to humble ourselves. And a view of ourselves that's too low will lead to massive anxiety. A feeling of, my goodness, this depends on me and I'm never going to make it and I can't make it. And so no wonder the scriptures encourage us to have a sober and a realistic idea of ourselves. The question for you and for me this morning, do you understand yourself in ministry and in life? Because that's a huge influence in the way in which you will be able to serve God. You see, if we don't understand with the grace of God and the power of the Spirit and in the light of the Word, don't understand ourselves, it tends to become, lead to subconscious attitudes which will entrap you and you won't even realize it. And Brother Warren, and for each of us, it will spoil your ministry and spoil your life. So with God's help, grapple with yourself. Face the issues in your life on your knees before the Lord and in the light of the Word and seek his help. That's the first influence. The second influence, of course, in the text is the devil. Very crafty. And we all know about the devil. He is like a roaring lion. Other scriptures call him the father of lies. Subtle. But he will, especially when we stand up and start to seek to serve the Lord, he will make us a focus as a special target of his arrows, shooting his arrows at us. And of course we know the scriptures teach us how to counter that with the shield of faith and with the word of God. You see, he has such a subtle way of operating. Sometimes he turns our trials, James chapter 1, into temptations, and our temptations into sin, and our sin into pleasure. No wonder the scripture here says, be watchful. Learn to recognize them in your life. Learn to recognize the wiles of the devil and confront him. In every situation that you face, be watchful. But also it cautions, it's so wonderful, the scriptures here. Don't get preoccupied. Be sober-minded, because so many people blame everything on the devil, including their own flesh, and end up in a state of denial again. And so the devil loves to foster pride and denial and anxiety and to drag us into bondage. The scripture says here, be watchful, recognize him. Don't become obsessed by him. Rather, learn to say that wonderful word, no. Get behind me, Satan. Resist him in the power of the Spirit. So, first influence yourself. It's going to get in the way of your ministry. And believe me, the devil will try and trip you up secondly. But the third influence over here in the scriptures is right at the end there, and that is other believers and faithful friends. Those who write on the work of missions and probably even on the church, I think recognize that the wrong chemistry, people, co-workers themselves can become the biggest obstacle and the biggest problem in the ministry of the gospel. Probably, I think studies that I've seen, one of the biggest causes for missionary attrition, in other words, missionaries, like you said, Warren, going back home with their tails between their legs, is inability to measure and handle colleagues and national church workers with and mission and people to whom they're working with. People, other believers, colleagues, the people that you'll be working with. And he mentions here in the text, doesn't he, Silvanus, probably Silas. Silas, you remember, was the guy that accompanied Paul on his second missionary journey. The first missionary journey, he and Barnabas fell out with each other. Conflict. And then Silas took Barnabas's place in the second missionary journey. Remember what the cause for the fallout was between these two great men of God, this apostle? Was a young man called John Mark, who lagged behind and wasn't quite up to the Pauline standard. And so he said, I'm not taking that guy again. Barnabas, the son of encouragement, said, I'll take him. And Silas then joined. And I'm sure that even as Peter mentioned these names and the blessing that these guys had been to him, he must have remembered some of the fallout that had occurred even with the Apostle Paul in the earlier missionary journeys. And you can see how this whole thing of one another relationships on team. Maybe you've experienced it here in the church. Maybe you've experienced it in your Bible study group. Can become a huge issue, a hindrance, but an influence. Of course, it can become a massive blessing as well. I look back on the people who've impacted Ros and my life in the work of the gospel, including people sitting in this room who've been such a blessing and a joy. People with whom we still pray and talk much and strategize concerning the work of God. But I think the point here is, be careful not to become over dependent upon human beings. This is the point. Remember where we headed? We headed to the centrality of God himself in this enterprise. Jesus, the gospel, the word of God. Because you see, so often we accept surrogate comfort, surrogate help, instead of focusing upon the source who can really help us and guide us and empower us and strengthen us. And so we fiddle around, as it were, with human relationships, which are good in themselves. I think that's why Peter here in this passage emphasized that point in verse 10. God Himself is the one who's going to work with you. So many influences, some of them good, some of them to be watched carefully. Yourself, you can be good if you have a realistic view of yourself. You're gifted, you're in the Lord, you're in power, you're empowered by the Spirit. But my goodness me, self can get in the way. And the devil loves that. And so it is with our colleagues as well. And so the second point really of the message is then God Himself is your only real helper and stay. And we look here really at the contents of verse 10. Peter knew the reality and the joy of restoration. That's the first point. He Himself will restore you. He knew the joy of restoration. You remember His sad betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have experiences like that? When at the end of a day, end of a week, you think, Eric, why did you do that? Why did you say that? If only you could have done better in that situation. He Himself will restore you, Warren, when these sort of things happen. The rock denied his Savior. But do you remember the wonderful occasion there in John chapter 21 where Jesus restored him? And having denied him three times, Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? You really love me, Peter?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And you remember the commission the Lord gave him, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." And so there's this restoring work that God Himself can do. Fellow human beings can't restore us. We ourselves cannot restore us. But God Himself will restore us and strengthen us when we fail Him. Actually, the word over here is a really Peter kind of word as well. It's the word katatazo. He will restore you. And it's the same word used in the Gospels for the repairing of nets. So as Peter wrote this, I think he must have thought to himself, man, you have to think of the number of hours that I sat there fixing those nets that were ripped on the rocks of the sea seeking to fish. Now as I've started fishing for men, I realize I actually can't fix myself anymore. But God Himself can fix me. I don't know what holes there are in your life still. I've got holes, and I'm not going to share them with you. Got holes. We've all got holes. Please don't live in a state of denial where you pretend they're not there. Bring them to the Savior and get Him to repair them and restore you and renew you. Perhaps today you're feeling that maybe you in ministry are beyond repair. You've messed it up so badly. God Himself is never short of the ability to repair His servants' nets. Secondly, if we can have the next one, Cody, please. He will confirm you. Did you notice there? He Himself will restore, confirm you. Here the word is sterizo, which means to prop up or to steady. To prop up or steady. So, bro, when you're weak and you can't make it, God Himself, through His Word, through His Spirit, through Jesus Christ and the complete work that He's done, is going to draw alongside and prop you up. I have a picture in my mind as I think of this word of a tree. Have you ever seen these apricot trees that are so full of fruit that their branches just kind of bend down and lie on the ground? And then what the wise homeowner does, he gets a kind of a stick with a V on the end and he comes under the branch and he props it up. That's what the Lord will do for you. Sometimes in your busyness, maybe even in your fruitfulness. And sometimes in ministry, it's difficult to distinguish between those two. We think that busyness is fruitfulness, and it's not actually, because programs don't necessarily create fruit. But sometimes when you feel burdened to the point almost of breaking, the Lord will draw alongside you and say, I myself will prop you up. Peter knew the temptations. He knew the rebuke of the Lord. But when overwhelming temptation, or perhaps it would be overwhelming evil or overwhelming disappointment that you see in somebody you've been discipling or seeking to minister to, when these times come and you feel that you cannot go on any more, he makes a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And he comes alongside and props you up. The next word there is, he himself will restore, confirm, and strengthen you. Again, sthenos is the word there, simply meaning physical, bodily vigor. So not only does the Lord prop us up when we're not making it, but he increases our muscle bulk, as it were, in the gym. Warren, I think we've started to see some of this. I don't mean your paunch or anything like that, but I think spiritually we've seen growth in your life, and praise God, may it not stop. I wonder if Peter, at the beginning of his ministry, when the Lord first called him, whether he would have ever dreamed that he would be preaching that Pentecost sermon. The promise, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, was coming true on that particular occasion. And there he was, and people were responding to the Lord under that ministry. Strength. Physical strength. Sometimes it's physical strength, and sometimes it's spiritual strength we need. Sometimes we're doing all our exercises and going jogging and trying to keep a healthy body, but spiritually we just sapped and weak. It's in moments like that. In fact, every moment of every day that we need the Lord's help and empowering and strengthening, because otherwise we labor in vain unless the Lord builds the house. And so may he give you that kind of power. May you see in your own life, Warren, and for all of us today, victory after victory. May you establish new habits. May you crack the bad habits. May you become stronger, because as we do, as our own spiritual muscle bulk grows, so we are also able to help others as well. And then finally over here, he will establish you. God himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. The word here is another word, temelios, which basically means just settle you on a firm foundation. We all know and understand the importance of this, don't we? We all like our place to stay. In fact, the big issue in our country at the moment is land, something that we can call our own, our place, physically, the importance, the vital importance of that. The Lord wants to give us, each one, a settled place in himself, where we don't have to strive for our own identity and our own flesh anymore, but where, as it were, we have our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our place. That is where we dwell. Did he not come and dwell with us and set up his tent amongst us? Did he not leave his spirit with us so that we could say, this is my God, this is my place, this is the place where I am what I should be. And so that growing maturity, and as the years go by, Warren, I long and pray for that, that God himself will settle you and give you a firm foundation in your ministry, that your identity would not be fiddling around with your own identity and your own self or your own person, or fiddling around for a national identity of being a South African or not being a white guy or this or that. May your identity and your power and your strength be in Christ alone. Truly, that is only the only worthy conclusion to us as we seek identity and as we seek relevance and as we seek meaning in life, must be in Christ alone. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, great verse. No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I don't know where you're building at the moment. Where are you putting your energy? Where are you putting your bricks? But may it be on Christ himself. So Warren, go well. It's going to be quite sad without you around, actually. But we're going to have those phone calls. We commit you to the care of the Lord himself. May you go in his power, in his grace. What better power and grace and presence and help could we offer you tonight? Man, root yourself in these things. Christ himself. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would ingrain these things into all our hearts, because we all do struggle around. We struggle with ourselves. We struggle with the devil. We struggle with each other, Lord. But may it be Jesus and Jesus alone. Oh Lord, won't you build in us something good and something useful for your glory? We pray in Jesus' name. And go with Warren in a special way, Lord, as we network with him now after the service, and as Thursday he goes off and, Lord, and joins Ofense and Mush there in Dar es Salaam, Lord. Please just go before them as a team and multiply blessing upon blessing. God, we just think of those villages of Muslim people who don't know Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that this enterprise, this move of sending another worker to that spot will produce much fruit as we abide in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.